Go ahead and open up your Bibles to Luke chapter 12 as we continue to get into the Word of God and look at the words of Jesus. And this morning we're going to look at Jesus as he's giving us more illustrations. He's talking to his disciples and talking to those around him. And he's going to be sharing about the faithful and the unfaithful stewards or servants. And he's going to give the illustration of his return. And I want you to be encouraged this morning. Jesus is coming back. And we're going to see that because he mentions that here in chapter 12. He talks about the illustration of the master coming back to his estate and finding his servants faithful and ready and so on. So we're going to look at that. So let's look at verse 35. We're going to pick up in verse 35. And Jesus says, "Let your waist be girded and your lamps burning, and let yourself be like men who wait for their master when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and he knocks, they may open to him immediately. And blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. Assuredly, I say to you that he will gird himself and have them sit down to eat, and I will come and serve them. And if he should come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. But you know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allow his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." Father, we do thank you for your word. Thank you that it is a lamp unto our feet. It is a light unto our path. Thank you that your word is sharper than any two-edged sword. And it rightly divides between the spirit and the flesh. It helps us, Lord, to rightly die to the flesh and to live that new man, that new woman in Christ. Thank you for your words. Thank you, Lord, that you are returning. And one day, Lord, all this will fade. Everything will be passed away. And behold, all things will become new. And we look forward to that day, Lord. And even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. And we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. All right. So, again, now, prior to these verses here, look at verse 31, because remember, Jesus said, he was talking to his disciples, and he said, "But seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. And do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." I love that. God's pleasure. What is, you ever wonder what pleases God, or what is God pleased in doing? What's his pleasure? Well, his one of his pleasures, obviously, he made us this for fellowship. He wants us to fellowship, obviously, and he tells us in the Word not to forsake it, that we have to come together, and we have to be united, and we are who we hang around with. But also one of his pleasures is that he wants to give you the kingdom. Think about it, the kingdom. You guys are rich in faith. One day, you think about being rich down here, that's all going to fade, that's all going to pass. The more riches you have, the more problems you have. You know, I always used to think, okay, hey, man, I want thousands of dollars. I'm not thinking about how the IRS is going to be knocking on my door. I'm not thinking about how that puts me up in a higher tax bracket and how that just makes things worse. You don't think about those things. But that's what the riches of this world does. But God wants to give us the kingdom. Everything that God has made in the kingdom of heaven is going to be ours. And I can't wait to the day when I step into the presence of God, when I see Jesus, and I'm going to see him as he really is, and I'm going to be like him. Hallelujah. I'm looking forward to that day. You know, I can't wait to fly. I often have dreams, you know, where, you know, I can fly at night. I'm flying, but I only get as high as a telephone pole. I don't know why. I can't get any higher. And I kind of jump, and I land to the next pole or to the next roof. I'm looking forward to that day when I get into heaven and I'm going to be walking on clouds. I'm going to be walking through clouds, you know, and walls or whatever is going to be up there. But I'm going to fly fly on the wings of eagles. You know, and I'm going to have a neck. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that big time. Lord, give me a neck. You know, you ever see that movie, Lord of the Rings, when they have those big giant eagles and they're flying on them? I can't help but think of that. You know, we're going to soar on wings of eagles. We're going to be able to sit with all these different animals, and the wolf will lie down with the lamb. Not the lion, it'll be the wolf. Our children be able, their children will be able to put their hand in the hole of a poisonous snake and not get bitten. All these things, the river of pure water and streets of gold. And you know, we don't have to compete over that. We're running a race where we don't have to compete, and we all win the prize. So be ready, be ready. But here in verse 32, he says, it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell what you have and give alms. Provide yourself money bags which do not grow old, a treasure in heaven that does not fail, where no thieves approaches nor moths destroy. And where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So Jesus says, first seek the kingdom of God. And I think we need to focus our lives upon the kingdom of God and focus on the work that God called us to do and how we have to trust in the Lord, and we have to live for him, especially in these times. And remember, we talked about last week how Jesus, he gave us three promises if we do them and one warning if we don't do them. Well, I want to remind you of those three promises. The first one, it says that God will provide for the person who seeks him first. Don't forget that. That's a promise. If you're seeking the Lord, God will provide for you. The second promise, God said he'll give you the kingdom, and he's going to give it to those who are really seeking him and his abilities to provide all your needs. That's a promise. Don't forget that promise. Write it down. The third promise is that God will give you treasures that won't age, that won't be corrupt, and they won't even be able to be stolen. I mean, I think that's one of the biggest deals here, is that we worry a lot about things that we own are stolen. We lock our doors, we lock our cars, and even then we have Ring doorbells and we put them everywhere, and we make sure we don't want things that are stolen. I had a problem where one guy was coming on my property 3 o'clock every morning to steal my bags of recyclables. And I thought, they're only recyclables, it's only plastic. But the problem was the fact that he was coming on my property. I'm thinking, okay, this guy's brave. What's going to be next? He's going to take obviously what was next, not only did he take my recyclables, he started taking Carmen's plants. And so, you know, I remember when that used to happen, and that really bothered me, and I wanted revenge. I wanted to catch him. And I remember sitting outside, I parked my car and I turned it around where the front end of the car was facing where he was coming up. I saw the guy. And the weird thing about it, he was driving up in a brand new Caravan. Wow. I couldn't figure that one out. And so I said, 3 o'clock. It was always 3 o'clock. I'm going out there. I went out there at 2 o'clock in the morning, sat down in the car. I laid back and said, I'm ready. I had my whatever. I can't remember what I had with me, but I was ready. I'm going to catch this guy. And I even one time yelled at him, I'm going to get you. You can run, but you can't hide. I yelled at him, I'm going to get you. And he's just running. And you can hear all the noise of the cans and everything. And so, anyway, as I was waiting an hour there, I turned on the radio and I was listening to K-Wave. And I was listening to a message. And I remember Mike McIntosh was speaking. And I was listening to him. He was talking about forgiveness and the grace of God. And I got so convicted, big time, that I got out of my car, went upstairs. I went on my computer, and 72 bold letters wrote, Jesus said, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. And I printed it out, and I put sheets of paper, and I stapled them to two of the largest bags of 2 liters, went down there, and I stuck them at the bottom of my driveway, put them there, and I went to bed. And those bags sat there for a whole week. He never came back. And my neighbor came up, and she wanted to know, what's the story of this? And I told her the story. He goes, I was wondering why these bags. So I just took them back, and I placed them back. But God promised that we're going to have a treasure that won't age. We're not going to have to worry about it being stolen. And that treasure is the things of God that are in our lives. Don't let the enemy rob you of the things of God. Don't let the enemy rob you of your joy, of your hope, your peace, your grace, your mercy. Everything that God has given you, don't let the enemy rob you of it. He can't. We let him. We open the door of our heart, or we open, unlock the door. Okay, it's open. You can come in. Don't let him. That's a promise. Now, here in verse 35 through 40, Paul, you know, Jesus says, you know, if we're Christians, if we really believe in Jesus as our Lord and Savior, then we are not to what? Be greedy or anxious or worry about the necessities of life, and which are going to include what? Food, water, shelter, clothing. I was writing all these things down. What are the necessities that we need? Even our health. But we are to put our focus on the return of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. I don't believe that I am selfish because I want Jesus to come back. Amen. I've been told that many times. And I just said, well, one person said, well, you can stay back. I'll go, and then you can come back later. I know that when Jesus comes back for his people, it is not going to stop. People are going to still continue to be saved. The gospel is continuing to be preached. There's going to be the 144,000. There's going to be many Christians that probably will be left behind. They're going to get back. You know, they're going to get their senses, and they're going to be preaching the gospel, the two witnesses. Even the angels are going to be proclaiming God's word. People will get saved during the tribulation period. It's not going to end. But you know what? I want to be with Jesus. I want to go be with him. And so, you know, I want to put my focus on his return. Why? Because I want to be ready. And Jesus, he commands us to be watchful. He commands us to be ready for his return. Look at verse 35. He says, let your waist be girded and your lamps burning. Now, I'm going to read verse 35 in the New Living Bible translation. Look how it says it. It says, be prepared, all dressed and ready. Now I'm going to read it to you, the NIV. Be dressed, ready for service, and keep your lamps burning. Now I'm going to read it to you in the complete Jewish Bible. Be dressed for action, and have your lamps lit. I mean, you can't get any clearer than that, guys. Be dressed, be ready. And let me ask you this morning, are you ready for the Lord's return? And while you are waiting, are you ready for action? Are you ready for service? Are you about the Father's business? You know, I think this can also be what Jesus was warning his disciples about in verse 29 when he says, do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink or have anxious minds. For all these things the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows all these things that you need. So, guys, if you're ready for Jesus to return, then you will not be looking to being having that worldly mind or being in the world, because you're going to have that. You're going to be heavenly minded. When you think on the things of God, you become heavenly minded. But when you're so consumed on the things of the world, you become worldly minded. Now listen to what Paul said in Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. And you guys know this verse well. I'm sure you do. Anybody know it without looking? Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, without looking? No. But that's okay. That's in Philippians. It says this, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is, let's read it, let's say it again. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Paul says, but if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit for my labor. And I think that fruit for his labor, that's the fruit that Jesus is talking about, that can't be destroyed, can't be corrupt, and thieves can't steal it. Yet what shall I choose? I cannot tell. For I'm hard-pressed between the two, having a desire to depart to be with Christ, which is far better. Would you agree? Isn't that be far better to go be with the Lord, right? I would be surprised if someone would say, nah, I think it's better to be here, better than to go be with the Lord. Well, that person who crossed out Jesus' name made that statement when he did that. It's better for me to be on earth to live here than to be with Jesus Christ. He crossed his name out. But God's arm is not shortened that he can't save that person. He saved you. He saved me. He can save anybody. And Paul goes on, he says, but nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. And being confident of this thing, and this is, you know, how confident are you? Being confident of this thing, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy of faith, that your rejoicing for me may be more abundant in Jesus Christ by my coming to you again. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. As long as I'm here on this earth, while I'm waiting for the return of my Lord and Savior, I want to be heavenly minded. I want to be about his business. And you know what? I always often think Jesus said in Luke chapter 18, which we'll probably get there in 5 years, verse 8, he said this, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? I often think, Lord, what is this faith that you're looking for when you return? And when you do come back, Lord, I want that faith. I want to make sure I have that faith that when you come back, Jesus, you're going to look for. You're going to come back. Let's see. Who has that faith that I'm looking for? You know, who's got that type of faith? I want that faith. Amen. I want to be rich in faith, Paul said. I'd rather be rich in faith. Again, and then Jesus, he gives us an illustration of his return in verse 36. And he gives us a picture of a master in verse 36 who he'd gone off to attend this great marriage celebration, and his servants had been left behind to look after his household and to wait for his return. Now look at verse 36. Jesus goes on and says, and you yourself, be like men. Who's he talking to? Remember, who's he talking to here? His disciples. He's talking to us. You're right. No, you. You. To us. Okay? He says this, you yourself be like men who wait for their master, and when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and he knocks, they may open to him immediately. I think when I read this, I think of those servants, how they should be full of joy and excitement and rejoice in the fact that their master was able to attend and celebrate this marriage. You should be excited that he's gone to celebrate, because when I think of this marriage ceremony that he went to go celebrate, I think of the one that he's gone to prepare for us. I never really thought, I always say, Jesus, I wish you didn't go on the cross. You had to die on the cross so that I can be saved, but I wish you were here right now. But now I'm looking at thinking that, you know what? I'm glad you're there because you're preparing this marriage celebration. In verse 37, look at verse 37. He says, blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. Assuredly, I say to you that he will gird himself and have them sit down. Well, I want to encourage you this morning, guys, okay? Let me encourage you. I've been praying that the Lord would fill us with the joy of the Lord. That's been on my heart lately. And maybe you should join me in that. Start praying that God would fill us with the joy of the Lord. We need the joy of the Lord in these times. We should be filled with the joy of the Lord, and we should be excited that Jesus that he is in heaven, and he's getting this marriage supper of the Lamb ready for us. Rejoice even if you're going through hard times or even good times, like Bernadette and Adam talked about. Bernadette mentioned, hey, you know, we sometimes fail to realize that, you know, when we're going through good times, that God's there. I'm like that way. Sometimes I don't, when I get blessed, sometimes I forget to thank him. Sometimes, not often. But don't forget to thank him for the good times. We'd never forget when we're going through hard times, right? When I go through a hard time, I never say, "Oh, I forgot to, you know, talk to the Lord through hard times." It's our human nature to cry out to God. That's okay, because God says that your trials, your hard times, are more precious to him than silver and gold. And you want to know why? Because they keep you crying out to Him. They keep you seeking the Lord. They keep you getting into the Word of God. They keep you wanting prayer. And when you ask for prayer, what happens is that causes that person to ignite the Word of God and word of prayer. And it continues and continues. And God is lifted up. Don't squirm out of your trials. I now don't say why. Because when I ask why, He tells me I still don't accept it. Now I ask how. How, Lord, can you get the glory through what I'm going through? I changed it a long time ago. I stopped asking why. Because I couldn't accept His answer. And I didn't believe His answer. I just didn't trust in that. Now I say, Lord, how can you be glorified through what I'm going through? I want you to get the glory through this. And it changes my whole perspective of what I'm going through. So be encouraged that, and rejoice in the fact that Jesus is up there. He's getting the marriage supper of the Lamb ready for you. And let me encourage you with John chapter 14, verse 1 through 4. Listen to what Jesus said. He said, let your heart not be troubled. Don't let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it was not so, I would have told you. But I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may also be. Next, get excited with that, right? Man, guys, you got a mansion waiting for you. Even though I don't plan to spend a whole lot of time in it, I want to be outside, you know, with the lions and tigers and bears. Yeah, I want to be outside. I don't plan to, I think I'm going to go inside the mansion and kick back in there when I'm going to see outside the streets of gold and the glassy seas. And I don't know. A man of tacos, the taquero that's going to be there. It's going to be a gold-plated taquero. I'm going to have a new body. I want to show it off. I'm going to be 6'2". I mean, I'm going to have clothes on. I'm going to have a robe on. Don't get me. I'm going to be 6'2". I already told her I want to be over 6 feet. I want to be yoked like Arnold Schwarzenegger. You know, I want to be, you know, I'm going to show off this new body that I have. And I want to praise God. And I want to worship. I want to hang out with the disciples. I want to talk with them. I want to walk with them. I want to go see Adam. And then I want to see Eve and see, was she really worth this, Adam? What, did you put us through? I want to know, you know. You know, I'm going to see. She better have been, because if not, you're in trouble, buddy. But let your heart not be troubled. Be blessed that Jesus, the Master, is coming back. And the fact that He is coming, you know what? We have to be those good and faithful servants. Are you looking after everything that He has done for you? Are you looking after that relationship that you have with Him? Are you seeking the Lord with diligence until He returns? Jesus, you know, He also applies this illustration to Himself and also to His disciples. I mean, He's the Master and they're the servants. I mean, He's our Lord and Savior. He often lifts up God up as the Master. He always prays, said, I want to do the Father's bidding. And in fact, Jesus never allowed anybody to worship Him. He always gave God the glory. And when He healed somebody, it says that they gave God the glory. He told people, hey, don't say anything that I did this. But they were so excited, they couldn't contain it. They had to. I probably couldn't have. If Jesus healed me, if He healed me, gave me a neck, I would be so excited. And if He said, hey, don't go say anything. Or if He healed you for something, don't say anything. How can you not contain it? You get so excited. You know, Jesus, thank you. I mean, I get excited when I hear people talk about how God healed them or when God answers another prayer, I get excited. So again, He's the Master and you're His servant. And how often we need to be in that position of readiness. Are you ready? You should always be prepared, always watching and waiting for the Lord's return. Every time I go outside, I always say, man, this will be a good day for the rapture. I always look outside and say, could it be today, Lord? In Luke chapter 21, verse 28, Jesus said, now when these things begin to happen, you know, all these tough times and end times. He said, look up and lift up your heads because your redemption draws near. Are you looking up often? I mean, I look up all the time. I'm always looking up. I look up even more now that planes are falling out of the sky. I don't want to be hit by one, you know, unless that's God's will. I mean, what's the chances of that happening? That put fear in my heart when I think about that UPS man in his vehicle. He either was going to make a left or a right, just sitting there getting ready to turn, and the plane hit him and his life was taken. Man, step into eternity. Talk about a divine appointment. Only God knows our time. Only God does. And there's nothing you can do to keep that from happening. If it's your time to go, it's going to go. And if it is, praise God, you're going to be in eternity. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. But lift your heads up because your redemption draws near. Jesus promises that even though we're going to experience great tribulations, we're going to experience circumstances and situations on this earth, we have to be ready. And you want to know why? Because all your circumstances and all your tribulation, your trials, those experiences won't last forever. But Jesus will return in full glory real soon, and that will last for eternity. The things of God are going to last for eternity. This earthly things, someone's going to either steal them or they're going to be corrupt and fade. Your buttons, your clothes, they all fade. I mean, I'm sure you probably had some pretty embarrassing experiences in your clothes like me. I mean, Brother Howard. When I did his celebration, remember Howard? And I'm there we're at the graveside and praising God and I'm sharing the word of God. My pen in my pocket broke, and then my suit shirt, and it was all black right here, big stain. And me and Howard, we used to tease each other because he was from Logan, I was from Golden Hills, I was from Lomas. So he used to say Lomas is northern Logan. And I used to say, no, Logan is southern Lomas. So we used to make fun of each other. And we used to joke around. And I told everybody, look at Howard. He got the last laugh. I don't know if you guys were there. You remember I had this big old black stain here? I was like embarrassing because I didn't know it until I felt it wet. And then I noticed my arm was black. But again, Jesus promises that these experiences are they're temporary, but his coming back and what he's given to us, those treasures in heaven, those things are going to last for eternity. Hallelujah. So as his disciples, look at verse 35. He says, let your waist be girded and your lamps burning. In other words, you need to be fully dressed, having your belt tied around your waist, and you need to be girded. You need to gird yourself up. And the word here, be girded, this is referring to your we're talking a personal preparation in your life, having that purity and purity of heart, seeking right living, seeking the things of God. It's a preparation in your life, having your life right with the Lord by keeping yourself ready to go and to meet the Lord when the Master comes back, or when when you take your last breath. Either way, we're going. I want to go together, guys. I wish he would come right now. The rapture, wouldn't that be great if he came right now? We'll all go together. But some of us are going to go before that, probably. And that's okay. That's okay, because our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So whether I go with Jesus or I take my last breath and I step into eternity, it doesn't matter. We're winners. We're going to be with the Lord. And we have to be ready. You know, in the Middle East, the men back in Jesus' day, even now, you know, they wear those robes. And in order for them to have, to be able to move quickly, to run or to have movement, they often would lift their robes up and they would tie a belt around their waist. And that's the meaning comes, gird up your loins, lift up your robe there. And if they didn't do that, it just hindered their work and their movement, so they couldn't move as fast or work as hard. So it was impossible to move freely and quickly without the belt being tightened. It would be like some of you wear a belt and it keeps you from your pants falling down, right? It does me. Some of you probably have suspenders. You know, I mean, I don't want you to have a visual memory of this or think of this, but I remember when I was at the beach and I had my trunks on, but I didn't tie it, and I was in the water and I forgot to tie it, and I didn't expect this wave. I got hit with the wave, and my trunks did go down to my knees. Don't have a visual on this, okay? I know it's hard. But you know how fast I moved for an old guy. And I realized the problem is I didn't tighten the belt. I didn't expect that wave. And so that's why you have to gird up your loins. And you have to be ready when the master comes, when the wave hits you, that your belt is tight, that you're ready. You're ready for that. When you, whatever comes against you, whatever you're hit with, you're not going to be caught off guard. And often they would do that. They would tie up their waist and their robes and everything. So again, not only you have to have your waist be girded, but also the Lord's servant is to have their lights burning. Look at verse 35. Let your waist be girded and let your lamps burning. So as a servant of the Lord, you should never, guys, never allow your lamps to go out. And I can't remember the song. There's a song that goes, and you guys probably can refresh in my mind. Don't let my love grow cold. I'm calling out. Light the fire again. Remember that song? We used to sing that song. Don't let my light. How's it go? Don't let my love grow cold. I'm calling out. Light the fire again. Okay? Don't let. I know you guys, it'll sound better if you sing it together, okay? Okay, I love it. That's what's so unique about our church. We're a family, and we can talk. Amen. Not a whole lot, but I don't have to say, hey, usher, tackle that person. Usher, bum, bum, bum. Again, let your lamps burning. Never allow your lamps to go out. You need to keep them burning at all times. And I believe it's referring to your relationship with him, your worship of him, your serving and laboring for the Lord, your witnessing and your testimony. Keep your lights of these things burning bright so people can see them. And I think that will happen as you stay faithfully serving and staying close to the Lord. Getting in the Word of God, getting in fellowship, getting in involved, getting in prayer. So much we need to do those things so that our lamps are burning. You know, the priests were required and commanded by the Lord to make sure that the candles in the temple were lit, and they were not allowed to burn out. And they would go in there and they would make sure that they were lit. Well, that's what you have to do, because why? You're a royal priesthood to the Lord. You have to keep your lamps burning. So again, the picture of the belt and the light, it's a picture of being in the position of readiness, guys. Are you in the position of readiness? Are you being prepared? Are you staying pure and faithful? Are you not caught off guard or unprepared? And Jesus, he gives us six reasons for us on how we are to live this way. He gives us six reasons, and I'm going to give them to you right now. The first reason, I want you to write it down, okay? The first reason for us to stay ready is why? It's because the Lord is returning. He says that in verse 36. Very simple. This is why you need to be ready, because Jesus is returning. Jesus is the head of the house. He's the owner of the property. He only left to attend this great marriage, this celebration. That's what he was saying. But he will return for what is his. And you know this word here in verse 35, look at it, verse 30, where it says, you're. I mean, that's talking about yourself, guys. You have to prepare yourself. It doesn't matter what everybody else is doing. You cannot determine your worship of God on other people. You can't determine your worship of God on circumstances or events. Too many of us, we have an event we attend Saturday night that causes us not to go to church Sunday morning. You know, I'm not judging, but I'm just saying be watchful. You have to be in the position of readiness. Why? Because the Lord is returning. You have to prepare yourself. Your belt and light must be tight and bright. You must be ready to open that door immediately when he knocks, because he's going to return and he's going to knock. But how are we going to do that? Well, listen to what Titus chapter 2, verse 12 says. It says that we are to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts, that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age, our present age. We're living now. That's why we have to be watchful. Looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's how you're going to do it. Second reason for us to be ready, write it down, is because we will be served by Christ himself. I can't wait. Look at verse 37. He says, blessed are those servants when the master comes and he finds them watching. He himself will gird himself. He will have them sit down to eat, and he will come and he will serve them. I mean, this is a precious promise, guys. This is an awesome promise. I want you to think about it. I want you to imagine the Lord. We're talking the creator of heaven and earth, Jesus Christ. He will be serving us at this banquet, the marriage supper of the Lamb. He won't touch the fruit of the vine until he does it with all of us. Jesus made this promise. Isn't that awesome that we serve a God who loves to serve us? These other gods of the world, they not one where you see someone says, oh yeah, they serve me, they're constantly serving them. Not Jesus. He loves to serve. The third reason you should be ready, write it down, is because we will be blessed. Verse 37. He says, blessed are these servants. The word blessed means to pronounce a person to be happy or blessed. Oh, how happy are you? Let me ask you this. How happy are you? If you are happy and you know it, let it show, guys. Okay? No, let it show. Don't clap your hands. Let it show. Because there's too many people walking around, they don't look happy. You know, and you can tell, it's like, smile, smile. Man, let me see you smile right now. Smile. See, I see everybody. Look at you smiling. You guys look at you smiling. Yeah, that's so funny. All right. A real smile, though, okay? It means that the person is happy and he's blessed. So the meaning is that Jesus is going to make the believer, make us, those who love him and serve him and are ready, happy and blessed. I mean, this is going to be the state of every believer. We're talking happiness and blessedness. Are you looking forward to that? Yeah, but. And I say this because being happy and blessed is conditional here in verse 37, okay? Look at verse 37. Because he says, if you want to be happy and blessed, then what? As a believer in Jesus Christ, you must be watching and ready for the Lord's coming. In other words, you got to be seeking purity and you got to stay faithful if you want him to bless you. I don't know, when I'm disobedient, I ain't too happy about it. I'm not like, praise God, I just sinned. Yeah, I'm so happy, you know. No, I'm like, oh man, lightning's going to strike me now. You want to be happy? Then be watchful and ready for the Lord's return. Look at verse 38. And he says, and if he should come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. He doesn't mention first watch here, though. It's interesting. I don't know why he doesn't. Doesn't mean that, you know, he won't come in the first watch. But the second watch, when I think of the first, second, and third watch, you know, I can't help to think that, you know what, when Jesus comes back, he wants to find us being watchful. He wants to find us being ready. He will bless us. But it tells us that we don't know when he's coming. You don't know when he's coming back. I know, but you don't know. Yes, I do. He's coming back when you least expect it. When you least expect it. He's coming back either the first watch, second watch, or the third watch. We don't know. Verse 38 tells us he might return during the morning, the evening, the noon, or the night. We don't know when he's coming back. But what we do know is that he is coming back. We know it. We know it. Look at verse 39. Look what he says here in verse, but you know this, that the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allow his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour that you least expect it. We know Jesus is coming a time when you least expect it. He's going to come back, whether it's the first, second, or even the third watch. But Jesus is pointing out that I think what's important here is that how important it is to be ready. That's what's important is, are you ready? The hour of his return is unknown, but what is known is that he is returning, and it may be right now or maybe later, but if you want to be blessed, then you need to be prepared and you need to be ready.
Well said.
Thank you. It's like what I always say, listen, there are three types of people. Those who watch things happen, those who make things happen, and those who scratch their head and wonder, what in the heck just happened? Which one are you? Which one are you? Let's pray.